Research commissioned by Marks and Spencers was published this last week in The Independent. 2,000 adults were asked what they thought was the most important thing at Christmas. Well, the most popular replies were getting all the family together, having a real tree, and eating turkey. Well, it reminded me of one Christmas morning I heard about. A family set off to go to church. They loved singing carols like we're doing this evening. They loved hearing the Christmas story again. On returning home, to their horror, they saw their dog sitting on the drive, licking its lips. At its feet were the remains of a huge turkey. Christmas had become a dog's dinner. Well, furious and upset that their meal had been devoured, the family wondered what on earth they were going to do. Then one of the children said, "How did the dog manage to open the oven and get the turkey?" They all quickly ran inside to find the answer. They discovered the oven door closed and their turkey still inside. Suddenly, to their dismay, reality hit. Their dog had stolen and eaten a neighbour's turkey. They didn't dare take the dog for a walk for several weeks. Well, turkey and the trimmings were pretty important to that family, but they surely had to reassess what is most important about Christmas after that dark experience. Well, maybe for us, we don't always find it easy to see what is most important about Christmas, perhaps because of the pressures surrounding the season, or even the pressures of life itself. So it's great that the readings we've heard from the Bible this evening help us not to miss what is indeed most important. The country had a great heritage. It was strategically placed and had a past to celebrate because it had affirmed noble values and held back the threat of tyranny. It had taken advantage of its privileges to reach rich economic rewards for its people and had developed an enviable culture. However, the country now faced a time of considerable uncertainty. It seemed to some a time of crisis. There was division in the land. There were questions concerning national leadership and serious dilemmas about treaties with surrounding nations. Sound familiar? Well, this was the land then called Judah and Israel in the 8th century BC, the land of the Old Testament people of God. And it was to such a people in such a situation that God himself communicated through his messenger prophet, as Julia read for us in the second lesson. It was a message that looked forward, a message so certain that it could be described as already having come true, even though the reality was in the future. It was a message full of optimism, and it is a message that, as we read it in 2018, is God's message to us. It's actually on the back of the order of service from Isaiah chapter 9. Now, for those who first heard these words, life was indeed challenging. Events in the country and almost certainly in personal lives were such that they felt like they were walking in darkness. They were those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. And yet, God's promise was that it would not always be like this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. The darkness of uncertainty will be displaced by a positive, powerful brightness. The troubles of a needy people in a needy situation will be addressed. Change will come about. And this will lead to celebrations. So the reading goes on to speak of rejoicing as burdens are lifted, as oppression is ended, and as conflicts are completed. But how will this come about? Well, let me ask you, what have the Duchess of Cambridge, three Kardashians, and the crooner of Christmas, Michael Bublé, all have in common? Well, I'll tell you, in 2018, they've all welcomed babies into their family. Well, our reading shows it will be a baby that brings light into the darkness. In the most famous words of the lesson, we read, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." And of course, it's because of that baby that we are all here this evening in North Ferriby singing, 2,700 years after these words were first spoken. But what is so special about this child given as the ultimate Christmas gift? Well, the titles attributed to him in Isaiah's message show us who he is and what he came to bring about. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. See, these people who walked in the darkness of uncertainty and difficulty might have been encouraged at the thought of a new earthly leader emerging to steer them through their challenges. But they were told of one who would be far greater than just that. This child, who we now know would be born in that manger in Bethlehem, would be the Wonderful Counselor, full of divine wisdom. And he would be himself divine, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the eternal, loving and caring God himself. As we began this evening, he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. Now, I know sometimes people say something like this. They say, if I could only see God, well, then I'd believe in him. But you know, had you walked the dusty paths of Palestine in the first century, you could have seen God. God has come and visited us. He has come to show himself to us in the way that we can understand best, as a fellow human being. And he has given clear record of that life that we can read very easily in the Bible. That the baby born is Mighty God also means that God gets what it's life like to live your life or mine. He doesn't simply look on from heaven and feel sympathy for us when our situation seems dark. No, he has come himself and shared the darkness and can bring light. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And the other title of the baby, given as a gift, shows us why he came. He is the Prince of Peace. This baby given to us has come to put things right. He will be the perfect leader. Do you remember those words that we read? The government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Well, how our world and our region, indeed our nation, needs good leaders. But the leadership of this one born that first Christmas is centered on bringing peace between heaven and earth, between God and people. We were out shopping last weekend, as some of you may have been, and we saw a rather unimpressive looking garden shed, but it had a sign on it saying Santa's Grotto. Well, it reminded me of a little boy who went to see Santa one year with a very long list. He told Santa in his grotto that he wanted a Lego Harry Potter Hogwarts Express, a Monopoly Fortnite edition, a Gravitrack track set, a Zinc Vault electric scooter, an iPhone XS, and a radio-controlled drone. Well, Santa said to him, "Well, that's a long list, young man. I'd better check to see if you've been good." Well, quickly, the boy altered his strategy. "I'd be very happy just with a Monopoly game." You see, that little cheeky chappy realised that his record was darker than he wanted others to know. And that reality, whether we admit it or not, is the situation that we're all in. We rightly bemoan the dark situations in the world around us, but God's verdict is that this darkness is also inside us. And there is darkness in us because of the way that we human beings have turned away from Him, the giver of life. As Jesus Himself put it in John's Gospel, this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. You see, this turning in on ourselves and away from God affects so much in our world. It explains why things are as they are. We so often are out of step with our fellow human beings. Nations are out of step with each other. We spoil the planet that we inhabit. And we're not only out of step with the God who made us and loves us, we are separated from Him. But the great news of Christmas is that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to address our greatest need. The baby born in the wooden crib grew up to die on a wooden cross. A little later, the same Isaiah who wrote these words we're thinking of spoke of what the death of God's servant, Jesus, would achieve. In chapter 53, he says, "He was pierced for our law-breaking. He was crushed for our sins. Upon Him was the chastisement that brought us peace." Jesus, in His life and His death, has dealt with the dark record of human beings. For those who would believe in Him, God in Jesus has taken the darkness into Himself and paid its price. He has made peace possible. So for those who see their need, turn to this Jesus and call out to Him, who having risen is now ruling from heaven with God the Father. There is on offer peace with God. A peace that brings together undeserving people and their Maker into a new adventure, working with others to bring light to this dark world. An adventure with an assured future, because it will be fulfilled when Jesus returns and complete peace will be realized. As we sing every Christmas, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." Well, what's the most important thing about Christmas? Well, that M&S survey says that for many the answer is families, festivities and food. And hooray for all of them, I say. And yet the true reason for the season is the child born for us. As we hear about God's gift this Christmas, have we recognised our need for Him? Have we come to Him to be reconciled to God and to live His adventure? He is the one who into our dark world has brought light, the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, God Himself come to earth to show us God and to share our lives. And He is the Prince of Peace, offering what is most important in life, peace with God, now and forever. Well, let's be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer with some familiar words that we've already used from a carol this evening. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Amen.